Thank you very much, Mr. J. Cruz. Appreciate it. It is 17 and a half minutes past the hour of noon. Well, since we talked to him on Tuesday, he's gotten another year older, but frankly, you're looking better for it, Mr. J. Cruz. And Mr. not Jay. He's much younger than all of us.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Well, real good. Excellent, as a matter of fact. Yeah, Wednesday was my birthday. I got up to the big 5'9". I mean, that's out of the way now. Mm-hmm. And it's not like 39. I probably won't be hanging on to it very long. My senior discounts start, I think, next year.
Ah. With you in the studio is Kate Wells. Nice to have you here again, Kate.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Good. We've had a lot of interest in following up on this case that you initially talked about, Richard. So why don't you take it away, folks? Eager to hear.
Okay. Good. I'm glad there's been some interest because it's something that we need as a group of citizens to pay attention to. This is our system, and if it's going to run right, it's because we do our jobs. And it doesn't end when we go to the polls and vote once or twice every 3 or 4 years. Anyway, Tuesday we talked about a lying deputy by the name of Nielsen. And some of the problems, a little bit too much about me, not enough about Nielsen. Basically, this is a guy that filed a false report. Kate and I both filed. Kate's only complaint she's ever filed against a police officer is one of several that I've filed over the years, but I won't be filing any more. And if they one day have me back down here, I'll explain some of the detail on that. But let's talk about the effect of a lying cop, because that's what this two parts was for, to get to the case of People versus Pinto.
You know what, actually, what I'd like to do, Richard, is say the views expressed on the following live program are not necessarily those of KSTO, staff management, or advertisers. And if something is said with which you disagree, please call us in order to balance comments. Thank you very much.
Oh, God bless you. And I'm usually pretty good about reminding people to do that because I know that this radio station doesn't necessarily support or believe the things I say, but are totally prepared to back my right to Sam. God bless him. Anyway, okay, People versus Pinto. Young man down in Watsonville shot a year and a half ago out in the field, subsequently arrested, put in jail. The officer claimed that the reason that he shot him was because this Pinto kid attacked him or threatened to attack him with a knife. They never found a knife. He was charged with several things, including this attack with a cop, and it's all felony stuff. He was facing 5 years in prison.
Six
years in prison. And an interesting thing happened on the way to that forum. To quote an old Supreme Court justice buddy of mine.
Right.
And this is where people paying attention, reading the paper, being good citizens comes down. Ms. Wells noticed early, you noticed early on that there was a trial going on down there that involved an officer by the name of Nielsen.
Absolutely. I do make it a point to read the cops and courts section on a regular basis since it is my area of expertise. And
yeah.
So I happened to read about this incident, and it didn't strike me any other than the fact that I recognized the name Jason Nielsen.
Right, because you'd filed this complaint against him for filing a false report the night he arrested me?
Yes, the only police report I personally have ever filed, the only internal affairs complaint, citizen's complaint that I've ever filed.
As a citizen. And needless to say, Kate's work is, and for those of you who don't know, Kate's work is in the federal courts, and she goes into court and sues the government on behalf of her clients to preserve our rights as citizens. She's what's called a civil rights attorney, which is, God bless her, she's not only a civil rights attorney, but she's not directly affiliated these days, I don't think, with who are those people that everybody thinks protects our rights? Civil liberties.
Oh, ACLU,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, so she's not one of those. She's the right kind of attorney for the right reasons. Anyway.
Thank you.
As the case progressed, it came up to the point where there's what they call a pitches motion.
Well, if I can interrupt
for just
a second here, because what happened initially is that I found out who it was that was going to be representing Mr. Pinto. And I want to put a plug in for Bill Minkner, just a wonderful criminal defense attorney in town who did this case, by the way, pro bono. And
that means he doesn't get paid?
That's right.
By either side?
By either side.
So he's not like a public defender getting at least something. He's just on his own.
That's correct. And so when I saw that Bill was taking over the case, I immediately called him and I said, Bill, I know this Deputy Nielsen because I have filed an internal affairs complaint, what I thought at the time was an internal affairs complaint, and I know at least one other person who has, which Richard Quigley. And he says to me, well, don't worry about it because I've already done a pitches motion.
Pitches motion, explain that one in 25 words or less. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it is actually pretty easy to explain. A criminal defense attorney is entitled to any complaints that have been filed against an officer that are relevant to what he is claiming has happened in this instance. And, of course, obviously, this instance, what would be relevant is that the officer was lying. So any prior complaints that had been made against this officer that would involve him lying would, of course, be relevant. So what happens is the actual procedure is that the judge receives these complaints and reviews them in chambers, in camera, and then decides.
For those of you who don't know, that's sitting in a room all by himself looking them over.
And reviews the file and then picks out those complaints, if there are any, that are relevant, i.e., in this case, it would be any reports of lying, and passes them on to the criminal defense attorney.
And so what did our illustrious Judge Danner find in this particular pitches motion?
Well, Judge Danner just didn't find anything in the file. As a matter of fact, he came back and told Mr. Minkner that this boy, Jason Nielsen, was clean as a whistle, I believe was his expression.
I heard squeaky clean, but it's the same thing.
that there wasn't even anything in that file that he could have turned over to Bill.
Well, that, and I can pick the story up there because for me, that's when he got a hold of me and asked me if I had any copies. If it was true that I'd filed a complaint against Nielsen and what for, and I told him, essentially for lying, and asked me if I had any evidence of that, and of course, I'd saved up a bunch of records, so I immediately sent those to him, and I guess he went into court and addressed Judge Danner with his paperwork saying, excuse me, but I thought you said there wasn't anything, and here I've got this evidence that there was something. What's the deal? And there was some hemming and hawing, and the short version is that Danner then coughed up, well, yeah, there was that thing in there about him lying, but, you know, that don't mean nothing. And so then the fight became between the district attorney and Mr. Minkner as to whether or not I could come into court and Kay could come into court and testify that this cop lied, since the only evidence they have against Mr. Pinto is the testimony of Jason Nielsen as to this particular charge of threatening the officer with a knife, resisting arrest, and all the rest. So I sent him all that stuff. He goes back into court. The judge cops to that, and then the fight comes. They're not going to let me on the stand because everybody knows that I have an adversary relationship with cops throughout the county. They leave one word out, and that is bad cops. And that, as I explained Tuesday, I definitely have a problem with bad cops. Minkner told me that they weren't going to let me on the stand, and the next fight was to whether or not they were going to let Kate testify. And the short, well, you can tell that story better than anybody. Here's the information that's not being kept, it not being put in front of a jury that's going to decide this kid's fate. First is, I don't get to testify to that jury, but I know Jason Nielsen to be a liar. The next one up is Kate Wells, who's having a little trouble right now with clearing her throat.
Sorry about that.
They love them cigarettes, don't we?
Holiday excess, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, so you got to testify, right?
No, I didn't get to testify. I actually got to testify just in front of the judge, out of sight of the jury. He was going to determine whether or not the jury would get to hear my testimony.
And what would be the basis for this?
Well, actually, the final basis was that my testimony was excluded because it was going to be too lengthy. it was going to cause too much delay of the trial.
Now, the length, how long does it take to say that I filed a complaint against the cop because he filed a false police report in that he said this and this is what actually happened? That seems to me like that's pretty much a couple, 3 minutes. What, how, there's not enough time?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. Mr. Rozelle, the prosecutor in the case, had a big packet of things in front of him as he sat down to cross-examine me. And those happened to be every complaint I had filed on behalf of a client against a law enforcement officer over the past, I don't know how many years. It was a large stack of complaints.
Well, now, but you're talking about criminal complaints, not...
No, these are civil complaints.
But I mean, pardon me, civil, but they're lawsuits. They're not, it's not an internal affairs type complaint. This is a legal complaint, a brief, a filing, a pleading, a case.
Exactly. It's a civil complaint that I've filed on behalf of people who have been either the victims of excessive force, false arrest, any number of things, violations of the Fourth and First Amendment, basically.
Well, surely Art Danner found that that particular area of inquiry was irrelevant in that that what you do for a living and the like has absolutely nothing to do with your veracity.
Well, we explained, actually, Mr. Meitner explained to the judge that we're willing to absolutely admit up front that that's what I do for a living, and we'll stipulate to the fact that yes, I have brought several lawsuits against officers who have violated people's civil rights.
But Judge Janet decided that all that was relevant anyway, and the questioning in that area was going to be allowed, therefore it would take too much time, therefore you couldn't testify.
Well, what happened is Mr. Rozelle started going through the cases one by one, starting with all, which was, I assume he's going alphabetical order through these things, and by the time he got to the third case, Judge Danner said, forget it. Get out of here. That's all I need to hear.
Okay. By the way, you're listening to the Midday News at Noon on KSCO AM 1080. If you've got any input up or down, give us a call, 479-1080, 477-1340. I don't know how there could be opposing view at this point, but if you got add-ons, any of that kind of stuff, go ahead and give us a call. Opposing views are fine. We're going to finish the story first, and then we'll take the calls, but feel free to give us a call. Definitely want your opinions. Okay, so now he's taking me out because I'm a gadfly and a troublemaker, and so I can't testify. And he's taking an officer of the court out because you're involved in civil rights litigation, therefore you're not credible?
I'm incapable of testifying, evidently, as to an officer who lies.
If he had ruled that the nature of the lawsuits that you'd filed and the nature of your work is irrelevant to your veracity, or your view of whether or not a cop had filed a false report, wouldn't you have been allowed to testify?
Well, yeah, I will announce right now to all of you out there that I am gravely insulted by the judge's ruling, and I think it is a frightening thing that he can just, you know, summarily state that the jury can't hear my testimony because I happen to have filed lawsuits on behalf of clients.
That's amazing. So now we're talking about evidence that the judge will not let in front of the jury. At this point, by the way, I get another phone call from Bill Meitner who tells me that this is what's going on. And I said, well, what did they do about the other two witnesses to this false report? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, there was a young woman that was working at the counter behind the store that saw what took place when Nielsen locked me in the car. And she read the police report, and she knew that he lied and filed a declaration. And then her boyfriend, who was waiting for her to get off work, did the same thing. What about them? And he said, well, Judge Danner didn't tell me about them. And I said, well, could I read to you the declaration? And I read the declaration from the young woman. And, of course, Mr. Meitner wanted to see a copy of that one right away, wanted to make sure that I had, in fact, filed it, which I, of course, assured him that I had. And as it worked out, I guess she got to testify. She ultimately did get to testify because they didn't have any way to throw her out. She'd never tried to correct a situation by reporting a bad cop before, and she wasn't involved in any sort of civil rights or civil litigation to protect the rights of citizens, so therefore she was allowed to testify. And as Mr. Meitner ultimately reported it, did a fabulous job. Yeah. Anyway, one of the things that happened, and I didn't mean to cut you off, that was that during a little conversation about this, and I'm not sure about the particulars, Bill was wondering how this information just kept eluding Judge Danner. How come you're not getting this information, or how come you're not giving it to me, or what's going on here? And that was the point where county council showed up, and again, apparently some guy by the name of Harry Oberhoover, Heyman, he showed up down there and explained that the reason that Judge Danner didn't turn that information over was because it hadn't been presented to him. And when Bill said, well, how do you know that? And Mr. Harry explained that was because they were in my internal affairs file and not in the deputy's. And it's like, Mr. Quigley has an internal affairs file, which incidentally is that this is a professional standards and conduct file. If I worked for the sheriff's office, it would make perfect sense for me to have an internal affairs file, but nobody seems to understand what Richard Quigley is doing with an internal affairs file. So, that has to do with the way the county administers itself, and it has to do with our county council, and it has to do with our district attorney, and it has to do with Sheriff Tracy's inability to grow up and get over the fact that I ran against him in 94 for sheriff and probably said a couple of things that dented his ego a bit. You know, I'm sorry, son, grow up. Okay, anyway.
The thing that I think that we need to focus on, because, you know, it's great to feel light and airy about all of these things, but all of you must realize that Mr. Pinto, through all of this, is sitting in jail.
Oh, and importantly, Bill Minkner got sick a year ago, went down, almost died. They sent in another lawyer to represent Mr. Pinto. The DA is offering him an out. You can walk, young man, you can walk. All you got to do is admit that you did this that you didn't do.
Even a misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor at that level. Time served, all that kind of stuff. You walk, all you got to do is admit. And Mr. Pinto locked up on him. No, I'm not going to do it because I didn't do it. And he held his ground. And so he's sitting down there and goes to trial on this whole mess because he won't take this easy out. So, yeah, he's been sitting in jail this whole time. They have the trial. The newspaper reported after the trial, and I'll quote him. Jurors apparently did not believe a deputy's story about why he shot a fleeing man while trying to arrest him in Watsonville Field 18 months ago. You don't really need to read much more than that if you know that Jason Nielsen's a liar to understand that the jury, thank God for good juries, they found their way through the fact that the facts were not allowed in front of them. They weren't allowed to know the depth of the lies and the extent of the lies that Mr. Nielsen told, but they found against his testimony. Anyway, now we get down to what what Judge Danner's doing. Is there a reason that you know of that when he was found, that he was found not guilty of threatening to poke that deputy with a knife, that he wasn't released?
Well, I have an idea why, and, you know, I obviously can't speculate as to exactly, you know, I can only speculate, let's put it that way. Mr. Pinto has, in fact, filed a claim against the county, and a claim for damages. And I think that's probably another important thing to know as a backdrop to all of this. His claim for damages is $1 million, but this case is probably worth much more than that if they find that this was in fact a false arrest, and that this was excessive force, and then he spent behind it 18 months in jail.
Well, if the deputy shot him, and he didn't, and the jury found that he didn't have a knife and didn't pull a knife and didn't threaten to pull a knife, what was Mr. Pinto doing that would warrant the shooting that wouldn't fall into the category of, you know, innocence or provoking excessive force? Where'd that come from?
Absolutely. The jury verdict, which found him not guilty of the assault with a deadly weapon on a police officer, but did find him guilty of resisting arrest, is a contradictory verdict. Those two decisions cannot stand side by side.
You mean if somehow or other, if the officer used excessive force in the arrest, suddenly you're not guilty of resisting arrest?
In the state of California, a charge of resisting arrest presumes that an officer is performing his lawful duties. And by law, he is not performing his lawful duties if he is using excessive force. Therefore, if you are found guilty of excessive force, it necessarily implies that there was no excessive force.
If you're found not guilty,
No, if you're found guilty of resisting arrest, it implies that there was not excessive force.
Oh, I see. You're, okay. There's lawyer think for you, folks. That's exactly backwards the way you and I assimilate information. But what that means is that if the cop used excessive force, there's no way that this guy could be found guilty of resisting arrest. And I think shooting a kid against a finding. So did somebody drop the ball here? Did Minkner not move the right direction? Did the court not do what they were supposed to? And what's with Roselle? You know, I got to tell you, that little he convicted me. The only time I've ever been convicted of anything more than a traffic ticket, they put together this case based on the lies of a Deverell, old lion Deverell. Dave Deverell, big liar. Oh, by the way, Dave, do you remember when I was in court and I called Dave a liar?
Yes, I do remember.
And he asked the judge to give him a copy of the record, the transcript of that
right.
case, because he took offense to me calling him a liar.
Yes.
And he was going to sue me for calling him a liar. Do you remember that?
I remember it distinctly.
I'm going to share with you folks what I said on that day in that place, because what I did was I looked up at Judge Kelly. I said, Judge Kelly, you don't need to do that. Don't worry about getting him a record. I'll write it down, sign it, and serve it on him. Deputy Dave Deverell is a liar. End of story. And, of course, I did. I ended up writing it down, signing it, and serving it on him. And he never did get the record. And, by the way, he never sued me. But he's more than welcome to try now. Liar's a liar. So Jeff got that case. Now, it was kind of interesting that Jeff would have gotten that misdemeanor case, because he's their big-time felony trial lawyer. And for him to step down to prosecute from somebody, oh, my heinous crime, driving, knowing that my license was suspended. And to this day, I still don't know that it was ever lawfully suspended, but that's neither here nor there. Roselle won the case on the basis of a lying cop. I even made the mistake a few months ago. I saw him in the hall and asked him if he'd ever won a case that didn't rely on the testimony of a lying cop. I decided later that was in bad taste, and I was sorry I did it. And I won't do that again. But in any case, so now I read in the paper where Roselle says the felony resisting arrest conviction under Penal Code 69 contains a provision. See, Roselle can't wrap himself around, apparently can't wrap himself around the verdict of the jury. The jury found there was no threat in resisting arrest. There was no knife, no threat of a knife. And he and apparently Judge Danner are going to move ahead on this kid and just keep going, notwithstanding the overwhelming evidence that these guys are just full of it.
Well, it's important to note that they did find him guilty of resisting arrest. That's because he initially ran from the officer.
Well, as I understood the decision, they didn't find him guilty of a thing he didn't admit to.
Exactly.
Which meant that they threw out everything the cop said. Wasn't there another witness involved in this that said at some point that there was absolutely no way the events could have occurred the way that Nielsen reported them?
The scientific expert for the people initially testified that the wounds on the kid on Mr. Pinto were exactly consistent with the police report. The defense expert came in and looked at the photos, looked at everything that had happened, and said, absolutely not. This could not have happened the way Nielsen said it. The wounds were not consistent with the police report. The people's expert, the prosecution's expert, then re-looked at all of the photos, looked at everything else, and came back on the stand and said, basically, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to reverse myself. The wounds are not consistent with the Jason Nielsen's report.
And Nielsen, I mean, neither Roselle nor Danner even blinked. They just kept moving.
Kept right on moving.
You're listening to the Midday News at Noon on KSCO 1080. This is the world I live in, folks. I listen to this stuff. I know about this stuff. I hear about it all the time. I could have chosen to do a lot of other things with my life. For reasons I discussed Tuesday, I did something else. But I'm here because it's really important. It's really important for you folks to tune up this system so that it's not doing this kind of stuff. You need to point out, it's not just me. The people that suffer under these need the help of you folks that haven't hit that wall, haven't had these problems, are not discredited by your long years of taking offense to this kind of behavior. And I'm really down here trying to plead for folks to get a hold of Mark Tracy and tell him we don't need lying cops. Spending a lot of money to put people on trial based on testimony that's just made up is not the way we want our money spent. We don't want our young kids growing up being exposed to this kind of mentality as the prevailing mentality of government. This is the moral rudder, none. It's whatever any lying cop says on any given day. By the way, the call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. At this moment, if you call, it won't do us any good because for some reason, Rosemary has abandoned me.
I think it probably is important to note at this point that, you know, we do have an adversary system, no doubt about it. And the prosecution is supposed to put on their best case, and so is the defense, and that's how supposedly the truth will emerge.
Yeah, but
that is not the prosecutor has an additional duty.
Yeah,
and that is his job, his or her job, is to ferret out the truth and be sure that justice is done.
That is in fact one of the neatest decisions I ever read, and I can't think of the name of it now, but I remember. In my early days of learning about the law, and I'm reading all these cases, and I read in there where it's a dual relationship. The district attorney is charged with protecting your constitutional rights against all comers, including himself. His obligation is as much that as to prosecute you when you did something wrong. Hello.
All righty. We have Richard Quigley, and we have Kate Wells in the studio, and Harold from Aptos. You're on KSCO.
Hello. I like Quigley, but I would like to advise him before he tries to destroy the thin blue line, realize the times we're living in. We've got a high unemployment rate, high crime rate in Watsonville and Salinas. The first thing I got to know is about this, who is paying to file all these fees? Is it ACLU, MACHA?
Which one are
you
talking
about?
The
funding?
What money are you talking about?
Okay, the funding to go into court for this Pinto case. What's the money behind it?
No, you, the taxpayers of Santa Cruz County are paying
you're
to
paying
prosecute
for
this guy. Who's
paying for you?
Oh, nobody.
Nobody. Nothing.
Nobody pays me a dime. I'm not involved. I am a citizen who happens to be aware of these facts, and I am bringing them to your attention, sir, so that you can show the sense of moral outrage that one would normally feel behind this type of story.
And I should also add that I am not going to represent Mr. Pinto in any kind of civil case. I am not making any money off of anything to do with this. I am just outraged at what's going on.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. Do you think this is for profit? Trust me, not a nickel.
Okay, question number one is Pinto. Does he have prior arrest? Is he squeaky clean?
No. As a matter of fact, he's not. And you know that's the part that you know that's the part that everybody wants to look at and run to. But the crimes that he was guilty of and has admitted to and is turning his life around, or at least talking about turning his life around from, have been more than paid by society standards by the amount of time that he's already been in jail. In fact, he's exceeded all that sentencing by some number of months. But no, he's not clean. He is a kid that has grown up and made some mistakes. But those mistakes did not warrant a shooting, and they most certainly did not include a crime that would cause him to spend 6 years in the state penitentiary. And if you want to talk about putting somebody on the street with an attitude that this society should be nervous about, you treat anybody with that kind of injustice, and at the other end of that pipe, you got a serious social problem.
Okay, Quigley, I'm going to tell you that I lived in Watsonville until 94, and I saw it turn into a Mexican barrio, and I had many Mexican people. I had five guns pulled on me and 12 death threats.
Sir, look, there's no reason. I understand, so, but all the sins in the world cannot be corrected with this. I've got to get to the next caller. Thank you very much.
Okay, too tough for you.
All right, we are going to... That was Harold in Aptos.
I'll take too tough for me. I will. I cannot solve all the world's problems. I'm at the front of that line, okay? I got my hand up. I cannot solve all the world's problems.
Paul in Capitola, you're on the Midday News on KSCO.
Okay, I had a bit of an experience here. I had gotten an argument with my girlfriend, and the neighbors this is like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Neighbor looked through the window and says, we were physically fighting.
Yeah.
I haven't physically fought with anybody my whole life except for my cracked out brother about 2 years ago.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, so anyway, the cops come, knock on the door. They hear a knock, open the door. They've already gone to my back door. So now I slam the door shut, wondering, knock on the back door, open the window. They say it's Capitol Police Department. We heard there was a disagreement. I said, there was an argument, everything's fine. My girlfriend left, everything's fine. We need to talk to her. I said, no. So I said, hold on, let me talk to you out front. So I went out my front door, standing, explaining to her that the car would be parked here if she was here. She left, and they arrested me for drunk public. They came in my house, they found my medical marijuana, They charge me with cultivation for sale.
Let's do the short version. Pardon.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I'm before that judge that we're talking about.
I hear.
And now I want to know, like, you know, I'm defending myself. I haven't committed a crime yet.
Run! Yeah. Don't walk! Run!
I did. $15,000 into it, and I haven't committed a crime.
I hear you, dude. I did 2.5 years in front of this guy on 6 helmet tickets. It is the biggest waste of the taxpayers' money ever. And I got a decision out of that guy I could have got from a 3-year-old. He's an idiot. You know, even if Art Danner had a moral compass, he hasn't got the intellect it takes to apply it. Run. Don't walk. Get out of his courtroom. Disqualify. I'm sorry, Judge, you're all handsome and everything, but not today. You've got to get away from him. And as far as the rest of the problems go, these problems happen because our court systems allow them to happen. And until we insist as citizens that our courts push for a higher level quality of law enforcement where they don't play these kinds of games, you and other citizens in this community will continue to suffer.
Well, keep up the good work, and
you've
got to keep on this.
Thank you, sir.
Right.
Next.
Thank you. All righty. Thank you very much.
There's another caller up there. I'm ready.
We have got Bob in SoCal. Bob, you're on KSCO.
Good afternoon. Sorry, I'm on a funky phone.
That's okay, Bob,
okay.
Too.
First of all, you have the storytelling capabilities of a Walt Whitman.
Well, thank you. I guess you're talking to Kate, right?
No, my question is, if you are weaving a tale of fiction, why is it that no one from the courthouse or the DA's office or the PR agency that they employ call in and counter all your claims?
All I can tell you, sir, is that to my knowledge, everything that I am telling you is absolutely true.
I'm suggesting that it is.
No. And I'm not taking offense, and I'm not trying to support my claim. What I'm trying to say is that I'm laying the truth out there as best I can. The reason I can do that is because the rest of my life covers it. I live a moral, and I have a moral rudder. We have a government that has got itself so convoluted and so twisted that the reason they can't fix anything is they can't admit that they did anything wrong. Absent the ability to admit you've done something, they sit there in their courtrooms and make people confess so that they will know why they're being punished, so they can improve, but they will not apply this to themselves.
Mr. Quigley, you're going to have a heart attack.
Well, they keep saying but I'm still getting older.
My point is very simple and succinct.
Yes, sir.
An innocent party, such as the DA's office or the court system, if they are innocent, you try to demonstrate your innocence. And by their lack, their silence, it would suggest that they're guilty as hell. That's all I'm saying.
I got it. The implication is that since they don't call down here and take me
And you know they're listening to
Oh, buddy, I hope they are, because I tried to tell every one of them I was going to do this job today.
They're recording it as well. All right, thanks for your time.
You bet. Thank you, sir, for the call.
And don't forget the views expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of KSCO staff management.
Don't do us!
Advertisers. We have Richard Quigley here in the studio, attorney Kate Wells. If you'd like to join the midday news at noon, you can do so. It's very simple. You simply need a telephone. 479-1080 or 477-1340 will get you on the airwaves, and you can join us and give us your input. It is 9 minutes before the hour of 1 p.m. And Ben in Salinas, you are on KSCO.
Yes, Mr. Quigley, to those of us that are avid listeners and appreciators of Michael Z and Rosemary and the good work they do for the community at large, we also, on the station sponsor, a thing called Lawyer Busters.
Yes, sir.
And it has to do with judges and lawyers getting together for suppression of evidence and jury nullification, which means your jury don't hold nothing. The judge could say, I order you to find this guy guilty on this, that, or that charge. And
absolutely right.
And so if then I say it lends more credence to your argument. And where is Mr. Belcher, the police chief, and Terry Medina, the police chief in Watsonville, and the sheriff there? This Jason gentleman, officer, is he a sheriff or?
He's a sheriff's deputy, and I'm telling you, man, one look at this guy and he would make your blood run cold. He's a great big old boy. He got the blonde hair, blue eyed, right out of the fascist handbook. I'm telling you, he looks the part. And he was so poorly trained. If they had adjusted him, when we file our complaint against him, he would not be a problem to us today. He would not be costing us money. He would not be running this kind of injustice through our system.
And Mr. Pinto would not have been shot.
That's correct.
And we as taxpayers must insist on the DA's, Canlis over there, and over here we have another DA. They must stand up and speak to these illegal, unconstitutional things going on. I mean, they are screaming guilt by their silence.
Yes, sir. I understand. I thank you for your call, Ben.
You're
absolutely right, as usual. This is a call not for our legislators and our bureaucrats. This is a call. This is something that the citizens need to look at, and then formulate your questions and put them to the right people. I want to know. I asked this. I touched on it briefly. I know we got callers all over the place, but hold on now. Fundamentally, basically, when you strip everything else away, cops do two things. Everything falls into one of two categories. One has to do with moving the gun from one place to another, and the other one has to do with being good witnesses. Now, underneath those categories are negotiations all around, but those two fundamental things are essential to a cop. That's what everything they do falls under. Now, Jason Nielsen has demonstrated he cannot move the one gun from one place to another without committing a crime of his own. Secondly, he's obviously not a good witness. Everybody knows he's a liar. So you got to ask me why it is that the phone calls are not going to Mark Tracy saying, what the hell are we doing wasting money on him for when we can get somebody that's got more of an attitude that we want? Next caller,
all
right, please.
John, on the cell phone, you're on KSEO.
Hi, John.
Hello, Richard.
Hey,
as a former police officer for 17 years.
Yes, sir. By the way.
I would agree with you that police officers lie. I have seen it time and time again. And it's one of the things that disgusted me with my career. However, I would also just add, and I'm not going to mention the merits of either your case or this other officer's case, because from what you sounded, or what you're saying, it certainly sounds like it was wrongfully handled. My comment is just this, is that defense attorneys, especially since the Rodney King thing, have been trained, in particular by Judge Richard Aguilar in federal court over in San Jose, but immediately you file a complaint against the arresting officer because that's going to create the pitches situation and so forth and so on. And so it seems very egregious that Art Danner didn't find your complaint when in the course of the pitches motion. But on the other hand, I'm wondering if perhaps judges are mitigating their review of these things based on the fact that attorneys are filing so many complaints every time that their clients are arrested criminally. They head right down to internal affairs and file a complaint. And you can't convince me that every single officer is violating the rights of the people that they arrest.
You're absolutely right, and I'm telling you right now that there's another day in that. There's an entire day in that. And Kate's got something she wants to share with you, but there is a Penal Code Section 148.6 and then initiated 1995. You read that, it makes it a misdemeanor to file a knowingly false complaint, and the chilling effect of that statute is unbelievable. But I really appreciate where you're coming from. And what were you going to say,
Kate? What I want to say is that the reason why they're filing all of these claims is that there is a government code section that says within 6 months of the incident, regardless of the fact whether or not you're being prosecuted for the alleged crime, you have to file a claim. The government makes you file that claim. It's not as if it's a choice, you know, that you have. If you think you have been the victim, you have to file it within 6 months.
But you're saying if there is a basis for a claim, and what I am simply saying is it's happening, you know, across the board.
He was talking about the IA complaint.
You can't make me believe that everybody has a legitimate complaint.
No, and there needs to be some stuff done with internal affairs, and that is a whole day show. It's by itself, and if they'll have me come back, I'll come back, and if you'll come back, we'll talk about it at length. In fact, I enjoy having you down here at the studio with me, if they do it. Can we get the next caller?
John, can you stay on hold?
Yeah, sure.
All right, and we'll have Jose Novo pick up the phone and get your phone number. That's line one, Jose, if you would just get John's number, and we will do that, Richard.
Oh, I'd love to spend a day with a retired police officer and talk about these things. So the people that understand that I am pro-good cop, I just don't have any tolerance for bad ones.
All right, Robert from Santa Cruz, you're on KSCO. It's 4 minutes to one.
Yes, I'd like to ask the guests, one, what can callers do, people listening, to change this system?
I'll take this one.
I do have a number of the police department, I should say the sheriff's, the business administration is 454-2414. There's a whole bunch of numbers. I don't know if that's the right number.
Yep.
And I just want to leave you with that question.
Well, the other phone number is 454-2040. That's county council, which apparently is where they get all the information down at 2414 to disregard complaints of citizens against bad cops.
I can ask you to do one thing, and that is, everybody out there, be a good witness. when you see something happening, when you see there may be a scuffle or there may be some incident happening with an officer and a homeless person or whatever, don't turn away. Don't walk away. I will tell you right now that I want a settlement for a homeless man who was being accused of attacking a Santa Cruz PD officer. There was a witness across the street, happened to be outside the Blue Lagoon having a cigarette. She was a management person at SCO. She came forward and she was a witness for us. Without her, we had a homeless person's word against an officer. So be out there, be looking, be a good witness.
And don't let them drive you off if they ask you what you're doing there.
You have the right.
No, I'm here to help you, officer. I'm trying to record in my mind everything that happened. We got time, but I think one more caller.
One more call, Jim. You're on KSCO.
Yeah, talk to me.
Hi there. I was just sitting with a friend discussing things, listening to the station, and he says, that guy sounds like the Paul Harvey of the law courtroom.
Well, as soon as I figure out whether or not that's a compliment, I'll know whether or not to say thank you, but certainly thank you for calling.
Yeah, I wonder what Paul that's so easy that's just absolutely enthralled and had never heard of you before.
Well, I'm trying to keep the passion down because I know that that scares people, but on the other hand, my beard's much shorter now, Jim, so I don't really get in a lot of trouble.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
I have one more real quick thing that I'd like to say.
Sure. Do we?
I thought we were.
Well, we got 2 minutes.
Running out. I want every person who's had their case in front of Judge Danner in the criminal courts, who's had any kind of a pitches motion done in their case, you now are going to have the right to have that case reopened because it's obvious Art Danner cannot exactly read what's in these internal affairs files. So, and I want to point out the serendipitous nature of the fact that if I hadn't read that newspaper article, if I hadn't happened to see Jason Nielsen's name, and I hadn't happened to tell Bill Minkner about this, this case would have gone forward without them ever knowing that this cop had prior complaint.
And that was in her capacity as a citizen, not a lawyer, not an ambulance chasing lawyer.
Absolutely.
And that is the difference that one citizen can make, and it is the most important function that we can serve for our government is to help them do better. Unless, of course, they're not interested in that, in which case maybe we need to find that out.
Indeed. Richard, perhaps you will, if we can get John, whose phone number I now have in my hand, if we can organize it, maybe we can have the two of you come back next Friday.
Whatever day.
That sounds really great to me. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Kate Wells and studio attorney Richard Quigley. Very lively and interesting program today. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, will come back and do it again on Monday. You're listening to KSCO in Santa Cruz. It's 1 o'clock, and it's time for USA Radio News.